Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. The mood is shifting in Denver, where Hillary Clinton called on her stalwarts to throw their support behind Barack Obama. Scott Schaefer watched the speech last night with the California delegation and filed this report.
No way, no how, no McCain.
With those six words, Hillary Clinton left no doubt she was turning the page from the bitter presidential primaries. In a 23-minute speech, Clinton thanked her supporters, especially women, whom she called the sisterhood of the traveling pantsuits, and she made an unqualified appeal for party unity. Moments after she finished, Clinton delegate Dennis Mangers from Sacramento declared himself satisfied.
This is a sign of true character, real character. She fought hard for this. She lost, and now she's doing what she needs to do for the party and for America. I'm really happy.
The week began with lingering bitterness among some Clinton delegates from California and more than a little impatience from Obama supporters. But after tonight's much-anticipated speech, Obama delegate Kathy Kiefley from the San Fernando Valley said Clinton's address to the convention left her feeling relieved.
Just sitting in the delegation in California, I don't think we're going to have a problem. I think people are going to come together. They just want to have their voice heard. But when all is said and done, they're all on board for Barack.
Not every Clinton delegate was quite ready to let go. Mark Murphy from Contra Costa County said he'll still vote for Clinton at tonight's roll call.
Even if she releases me, I feel like I have to, for the fact that when I was elected, I promised these people I would vote for her. And I have to on the first go-round, no matter what. And then we have to get behind him because he has to be the next president. We can't have John McCain.
It doesn't take a politician to know how hard it is to lose a close election. But former Governor Gray Davis put it this way.
She wanted to be president desperately for all the right reasons, but she realizes it's her job, her duty, to rally the Democrats, to rally Americans, and to bring in a winner in Barack Obama.
Tonight, it's Bill Clinton's turn to get behind his second choice for president. For the California Report, I'm Scott Schaefer at the Democratic Convention in Denver.
Scott Schaefer's at the convention all week. Catch up with all his coverage at californiareport.org. New data from the Internal Revenue Service reveals that in 2004, California had the largest number of residents with a net worth of $1.5 million or more. The Wall Street Journal's been digging for gold on the tax agency's website and reports that in 2004, there were 428,000 ultra-wealthy people in California, more than twice the number of ultra-wealthy, as the journal calls them, in the next state down the list, Florida. Thanks to the budget impasse in Sacramento, California's 72 community college districts are out $500 million for August alone. There's no telling when the money will show up and whether the state will fully reimburse schools struggling to cover the shortfall while the new year kicks into gear. Rachel Dornhelm has more.
So you know that in EOPS we provide comprehensive retention services.
Nine single moms have pulled their school desks into a circle. They're at an orientation session at Diablo Valley College in the San Francisco suburb of Pleasant Hill. One of the moms wears glasses and an updo, and before the session introduces herself as Maya.
I'm 43 years old, and I'm actually starting over in my life. I've been in recovery for 4 years, and I haven't been in school since eighth grade. So I decided that after getting into recovery, I needed to do something different with my life, so I decided to come back to school.
Maya is at this session because she was handpicked for the school's CARE program, which gives special attention to low-income single moms. Maya nods as her friend Christine says CARE's grants for books, childcare, and transportation make it all possible.
It's a struggle between school, work, and kids. You know, but again, if there wasn't financial aid and there wasn't these programs, I would have never been able to come back.
CARE is a so-called categorical program. They serve students with learning disabilities, students at high risk of dropping out, and those with the lowest incomes. At the start of the state's budget negotiations, the programs faced a 7% cut. Kindred Murillo, Vice Chancellor of Administrative Services for the district that includes Diablo Valley College, says she is juggling other funds so that the programs can keep going for now.
What I've seen is just that little lifting up of somebody and maybe $1,000 or $300 makes all the difference in the world of whether they're going to stay in school or not.
Murillo says even rumors that their aid may be cut can discourage students from enrolling. It's not just uncertainty over potential cuts that has Murillo up at night. She says because of the budget stalemate, the state hasn't paid its bills, and that means her district will run out of money soon. They're not the only ones.
We've been using our cash reserves, and we've covered payroll in July. We'll cover payroll in August. We're covering all of our operating expenses. The only problem is I've used up all the cash that we have in the county, so now I'm going to have to start moving cash around amongst the various accounts that we have with the county of Alameda.
That's Tom Smith, vice chancellor of the Peralta Community College System, which has campuses in and around Oakland. He says it's not just salaries he has to cover. With state funds frozen, his district needs to make up a $1.6 million shortfall in Cal Grant financial aid.
We don't know what we're going to do. There's a possibility that we might take some of our general fund money and loan it over to the financial aid program so that we can make those grants in September.
But Smith says that's a gamble because that program is facing cuts and the district may not recoup the money it lays out. On top of everything, Smith says enrollment in his district has climbed 15% over last year.
In bad economic times, the state has less money and we get less money. That's at the time when we have the most demand for our classes and retraining and people that are trying to get back into the workforce.
While being in limbo is frustrating, Scott Lay, head of the Community College League of California, says most schools have adjusted to the uncertainty of budget delays, and they've figured out where they can cut first.
Initially, it's delaying payments to vendors, you know, cutting back on services, hours, library hours, and, you know, trying to keep the cuts away from the students. But eventually, there's only so many of those things you can do when 80% of our costs are in human resources, the faculty and staff that serve the students every day.
Lay says he's worried about smaller schools with fewer resources to carry them through these uncertain budget times. Those include Lassen College in Susanville and Feather River College in Quincy. For the California Report, I'm Rachel Dornhelm.
That's the California Report for Wednesday, August 27th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Endowment, working to build healthier communities that support children, youth, and families. Online at www.calendow.org. The R. Gwynn Fallas Foundation for coverage of climate change. And the James Irvine Foundation, celebrating the 2008 recipients of the James Irvine Foundation Leadership Awards. More information is available at www.irvine.org.